Item on the agenda, item 16, consideration of allowing gillnet permittees to fish from the same vessel and restrict or eliminate the use of agents in the gillnet fishery except in cases of medical hardship.
Yes, sir. This is an item that's been before the commission multiple times since 2009. When it was originally adopted, there was a when we put in gillnet permits themselves, one of the big issues was concerns about license stacking. Either the presence of multiple license holder, gillnet license holders on board a vessel together, basically getting competitive advantage, or a harvester aging someone else and possessing multiple licenses in that way and stacking up licenses. And that is a large concern. Now, this past April, we did try to find some solution to this. The big issue was individuals who wanted to work together, both being licensed gillnetters. But the way the regulation was set to prevent stacking on a vessel, they couldn't actually work together with term permits. Only one permit was allowed on the vessel at any time to be worked. So we tried to come up with a solution based on looking at the amount of net licensed with on the vessel, how many licenses on the vessel, how much net they could go work that day, and put some limitations that way. But through the commentary from law enforcement, we found that wasn't enforceable, and we couldn't really find conformity. So we went back to the drawing board on this item again from staff, and at the August FMAC meeting, we brought this back up to FMAC, trying to find a solution to solve this issue where individuals who want to work together on a vessel who both are gillnetters but not have the license stacking. What we proposed was a change to Regulation 1190. One was, okay, and we ran this with law enforcement, no more limiting the number of individuals lawfully licensed to fish on a vessel with a gillnet. We'll just do away with that. That way they can work together. But we're going to have to put some caps in place involving the license stacking. We recommended issues involving agents because that is the heart of the license stacking now. One proposal we brought up to them was for all those who are non-CFRL holders, which I myself technically am not, so Mr. Schick could hand me his commercial license and a gillnet license, and I could go work as his agent. I'm not a true waterman, but I could go work as his agent, okay? One issue was there to limit them to just some type form of a permit saying they're only going to agent for one person and stuff, and that would also make it an enforceability issue. So if we found them doing something inappropriate, we could take something away from them. Somewhat similar to the aquaculture harvester license that's in effect where you have an aquaculture harvester and aquaculture product owner. The product owner does the reporting. The harvester is just working for somebody. We also, though, mentioned that current watermen, CFRL holders, and keeping them from having too many issues, okay, do we limit them to agent only for one person and they can work their own gear, or do we say you're not going to get to work your gear and if you want an agent? You don't need a gillnet permit. Remember that everybody who has a CFRL is in the gillnet fishery. Class A permittees are allowed up to 12,000 feet, Class B up to 6,000 feet cumulative in licensing. But everyone's in this fishery. At the August 30th meeting, and we were trying to promote discussion, the following item came up. They just said, well, what if we just do away with agency altogether? Again, because everyone's in the fishery, and it's reflected in their minutes from that meeting also. Many members of the committee commented about, because everyone's in, there's no real need for agency at this time in gillnetting. No one's out. Everyone's in. Now, restricting agency is not without precedent either. We actually do it already in the striped bass fishery. There is no agenting in striped bass fishing for the commercial striped bass fishery. There is limited agenting in the crab pot fishery. You actually have to register your agent with the staff if you're going to have someone do an agenting for your pots. So we drafted Regulation 1190 in a way to actually address that. So we could allow guys to work together, join up, and in tough economic times, that's a very helpful thing to do, but also have no agenting at all in the gillnet fishery. But also by the recommendation of FMAC, we put in a hardship provision. Someone were to get sick, and they could document it to us, a doctor's note or something, or something else were to come up, fortunately, death family, that we could issue basically a five-day exception so someone could go out and actually agent and get their gear out of the water. So it's not just hanging out there in limbo. Someone could lawfully go get it. So that it was a provision. It was put in. It was an FMAC recommendation, a very good one, and we did add that in. Now, since this discussion on the 30th and such, we have had some concerns voiced by two of our members from FMAC at that time, even though Mr. Jenkins has actually been stepped down of his own accord. Mr. Doug Jenkins and also Bobby Wiggle, who is a current member, have expressed some concerns in case something else did come up other than a hardship. They needed to go somewhere and they wanted to have someone else, like a family member or such, go out and pull their gear for them. Maybe they had a trip planned or something somewhere. They wanted to have that ability. This is a public hearing. We did advertise it per 22.2-209 of the Code of Virginia. The staff is recommending the adoption of the amendments as we presented to you in your evaluation packet to allow gillnet permittees to work together from the same vessel, to prohibit the use of agents in the gillnet fishery, and to allow the commissioner or his designee to grant a five-day exception to the prohibition against the use of agents in the gillnet fishery in documented cases of significant hardship due to health, retirement, or death of an immediate family member. That's what I have at this time.
Members of the commission have any questions, Mr. Grist? Sounds pretty straightforward. Thank you, Joe. Sure. This is a public hearing. Kelly.
Keep it short.
Mr. Place.
I didn't expect to speak to this, but I'm a little bit disturbed. I understand the rationale that's been given for possibly eliminating agency. I would like to see the allowances a little broader beyond just medical hardship. For one thing, someone gets sick, it's pretty impractical to get doctor's notice or, whatever you need to get to the commission to allow agency. It's usually something that needs to be done right away. But I'm thinking more of safety concerns, and particularly thinking a few years ago, you all might have remembered David Dryden, and I think it was his nephew or Faye, I'm not sure which other Dryden. They had their gill nets set out of Pocosin, and weather had blown up a lot more severe than anyone thought. And there were people who could have gotten their nets for them, but you can't, on these spur-of-the-moment things, create an agency. And so they went out in the small boat that they had set, and they didn't come back. They both died. They both drowned. I would just suggest that you might want to consider a little bit broader than just medical hardship. There are safety concerns, not to mention I'm sure you consider these, but the economic feasibility of it all. The people I fish with, typically either David Johnson out in the bay or the ocean, or George Trice, whose staff knows, and Jimmy Moore, they both have gillnet permits, as do I, but you can't buy a gillnet license for one net but in one person's name. Now, even though they fish together all the time, if only one is on board, but the license that's on the net belongs to the other guy, I'm not sure how that would be handled, whether you would call it agency or not, but it does seem that a long-standing crew, if one person is not there, but that's the person whose license is on the actual net, that the people that traditionally all the time fish with them might be entitled to also fish that gear in the day that a person is gone. I'm sure you've got good reasons for trying to restrict the agency. I would just urge you to be cautious of how much you do restrict it. And if there's any uncertainty, since there's no immediacy to this issue that I see, if you do have any uncertainty, I would urge you to possibly extend it for another month in case anyone else wants to comment on this, because I do know a lot of fishermen that I think might be affected by this that I'm sure aren't aware of this and would probably like to comment. So unless you have some major immediate urge to do this, consider one more month. But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Place. Mr. Ledford?
Chris Ledford again. Thank you for the opportunity. I understand why this is going. I was at the FinFish Advisory Committee meeting. One thing I wanted to ask, and is to add possible to the agent exceptions, not medical hardship, but immediate family member. I don't see why adding that verbiage would be. I understand what our mission is here and the target of the regulation. If that's in there, great. But if we could, you know, allow something like that, that way, I mean, at the very minimum, I'm a family member, and we're not going to. Maybe that would help. I talked to a couple of people that was one of their concerns. You know, they're not trying to get a tow agent as a stranger. They just want to be able to have a family member, a son or a nephew that's in better health, be able to go out and run the boat and operate the gear for them. Is that in there?
Judge, you want to comment on that? I think that's there, unless I'm misunderstanding. Can you comment on his?
There is a section already in there about, along with the demonstration of significant hardship on number two, documents the retirement or death of an immediate family member also is in there.
He's saying rather than using an agent, I think, if I understand right,
please,
that you could allow an immediate family member to go instead of an agent, an employee. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. I just don't want the wording to restrict that use. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the wording to limit it just to, you know, and it may be a long-term thing. Maybe 2 or 3 months that family member has to do it. So, you know, now is that coming in as an agent? It is. I just want to make sure it's not excluded.
I think the one thing we have to clarify is how to clarify this in regulation for law enforcement's benefit so there's no confusion there, because this would be something that they would be trying to enforce, and we wouldn't want any confusion at that point.
I'm real concerned with Mr. Bowden. Mr. Bowden, I know you work a lot on this.
Just a second. Any other questions of Ms. Bloodford? Comment, Mr. Bowden?
We have looked at this, and you know, I think the original intent was to stop license stacking, because I think our main problem was accomplished when we made Class A, Class B license. What we're trying to avoid now is people who have Class B becoming Class A by having someone else's license to go along with ours, and that would make everyone in the state of Virginia able to have Class A. I think, you know, that's really what we were shooting for, was the fact that we didn't want people to be an agent and a cardholder at the same time. And one of the original suggestions from staff was make it so you could be either or. If you took someone else's agency, you could have to surrender yours and you couldn't be both. And I really think that accomplished it. And that night at Finfish several months ago, we had a good discussion, and I think Mr. Wheatley at the last meeting said we misunderstood what he was going for. He wasn't interested in doing away with agents altogether. It was just the fact that they wanted to be able to fish with more than one person on the boat that had license. And law enforcement commented that they didn't think they could enforce it. What we were looking towards was limiting everybody on a vessel to having the amount of gear license that equaled one Class A license.
Right.
And we couldn't very well do it because law enforcement said they'd have a job measuring the net and being able to tell what was what. So if I had three licenses, he had two licenses, and Mr. Highland had five licenses, we would be within the Class A frame, but it would make it very hard on law enforcement to prosecute if we weren't. So that's basically what we were shooting for. I think my suggestion on this is I don't think it's something that's urgent today. And we're going to reconvene the GillNet Task Force in the near future to discuss spotted dogfish. I think that's probably an appropriate place. Take it to them and then back to FMAC and come back with
to Mr. Grandis.
Yeah, I mean, this may very well be what we end up with, but I don't think so. But I really think by the man who made the motion saying that we misunderstood what he wanted, we ought to certainly give him a chance to reaffirm what he does want.
The chair will entertain a motion to table this matter.
I move to table this motion.
Motion made by Mr. Bowden, second by Mr. Tanker. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. What we'll do, send it back through, get it the way you want to get it, and then Joe, if you would, and Mr. Travelstead, Rob, get it to Mr. Grandis and let it pass his test.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Appreciate it.